Welcome again to worship today with Mount Olivet Lutheran Church. We know and are reminded that the church isn't a building, it's a people. And Jesus says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them. And we must say today that that doesn't have anything to do with proximity. Even as we practice good social distancing, we're still together and gathered in Jesus' name. And so may the peace and mercy and love of Christ be with you wherever you are this morning or today or whenever you watch this, around the kitchen table, in your jammies on the couch, on the phone somewhere. Jesus is with you. Jesus says, do you know what I have done to you? That's the question he asks the disciples after he washes their feet in this scripture reading from the Gospel of John. And perhaps as people seeking to follow Jesus, those of us who claim relationship with him, those of you who have been baptized and marked with his name on your entire self, or even if you're confused or doubting, which we all might be from time to time, it's still the same question asked to us. Do you know what I have done to you? Jesus asks. This scene in the story of the Gospel of John is unique to the Gospel of John. No other gospel tells the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and yet it is arguably one of the most poignant and intimate scenes of all of the accounts of Jesus' life. As with John, there's more than meets the eye going on in this scene. Jesus, of course, literally washes the feet of the disciples, and there's a certain practicality to this. You see, the act of foot washing was a fairly common practice in that day and context, especially when you would enter into a household or perhaps a place of worship. You know, think of it, people, the main mode of transportation in those days was by foot. No clean tar roads to walk on, mostly footpaths or dusty streets or even dirt floors in some residences. And not wearing the latest Nikes or hiking boots from REI. So with sandals and leather straps, the feet would get dirty. And as it is today, I imagine that sandals with socks was as much of a fashion faux pas back then as it is now. You know who you are, those of you out there. Stop it. But in the dusty, hot, dry climate of that context, it just wasn't practical to wear socks either, so feet would get dirty. The closest example I have personally of this is of a certain five-year-old in my inner circle who does not prefer to wear socks. At the same time, her favorite footwear has been a pair of warm leather fleece-lined reindeer boots. And these are worn during the 3 to 4 hours per day she spends in motion, running, jumping, sweating. Are you getting the picture? More than a few times, for the comfort of those around her, a midday trip to the bathtub is necessitated. And so it is. Jesus stoops to wash the feet of his disciples as a practical, tangible act of service. And yet, it strikes surprise in the disciples, or at least in Peter. He reacted this way because it wasn't the usual way that this would happen. It wouldn't be your close friend and leader who would stoop down, get up from the table, tie a towel around his waist, and begin to wash your feet. Jesus completely ignores the usual expectations and norms of social hierarchy and action. Masters don't wash the feet of the servants. Leaders don't wash the feet of constituents. Leaders in this world keep themselves clean, Jesus. Those who want power and prestige in this world fight and claw to make sure they remain on the throne rather than show any vulnerability or humility to get to the level of those in the dust. But Jesus' act turns it all upside down. Jesus admits, yeah, You guys won't get this yet, but you will later. And incidentally, that might be a word of hope and grace for any of us when we too get confused about how God is at work. Peter protests, "You will never wash my feet, Lord." And I think I know what's happening there. In my time as a pastor, I've been a part of organizing and helping to lead a number of worship services where we've enacted or dramatized this scene from the Bible, and people are asked to volunteer to actually have their feet washed by someone representing Jesus. And do you know how hard it is to get a Midwestern Lutheran to agree to have their feet washed in worship? Here's what I hear. "Oh, no, Pastor. I refuse to have my feet washed in worship. Nobody's going to wash my feet in church. That's embarrassing for me, and even more embarrassing for whoever would have to do it. My feet are not becoming of this worship." I think I hear the voice of Peter. "You will never wash my feet." But Jesus' reply is this: "Unless I wash your feet, you have no relationship with me. Unless you allow me to take your stench and your dirt and these appendages into my hands, unless you see that I'm here to love you not for your clean, beautiful features, but perhaps in and through your self-consciously hidden or self-proclaimed embarrassing attributes, you won't know what this is all about." Did you hear that, Peter? Unless you see that Jesus is not here to laud you in your goodness, in so much as to love you in your vulnerability, you won't truly see what God is doing. Peter, who is not adverse to speaking, replies more. He says, "Well, Lord, don't stop at my feet then. Wash my head and my hands also." And I love that Jesus goes back to practicality here, because he knows Peter still doesn't get it. There's more to what is actually happening here, Peter. Jesus essentially replies, "Well, you know, Pete, if you've been keeping up with basic personal hygiene, you don't need me to wash your head and your hands." I take an aside here to iterate an important public service announcement concerning the virus. You need to wash your own hands. Jesus is not going to wash your hands for you. Please do this for the sake of your own health and the health of others. This concludes the public sermon service announcement. So Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. And the question is stated, "Do you know what I have done to you?" Do you know, dear people, what Jesus has done to you, for you? In the silence that follows from the disciples, Jesus says, "You've called me teacher and master. In that, I have taken your dirt and your need and your vulnerability into my own hands. To do so, I have knelt down at your level. Even more, I have knelt beneath you. And this is what I'm about." And as followers, do unto each other as I have done to you. Do you know what I have done to you? Jesus has spoken with care, and he has acted with compassion and relationship and mercy for Peter, for the disciples, for Nicodemus, for the woman at the well, for thousands of hungry people, for the man born blind, for Mary and Martha and Lazarus, for anyone and everyone who would ever claim to follow his lead. This is Christ's gift, and it's his calling. He washes not only the feet of the disciples who have loved him to the end, But did you note he even washes the feet of the disciple Judas, who will betray him, and the disciple Peter, who will deny him? Do you know what I have done? In our world these days, during a pandemic, perhaps it's not as difficult to note how this message might play out. Perhaps more than usual, we're being confronted with how we are truly in relationship with one another. And to truly be loving in that relationship means that we all need to kneel in certain ways for the sake of neighbors, to join together in each other's suffering or bear suffering together in order to minimize suffering. As I've sat with the text this week, I've listened closely lately to leaders who show that concern, who understand that while we wish to get through a difficult time, and we anticipate that there will be a day, hopefully in the not too distant future, where most of life will be able to get back to what we would consider normal, there's still the truth that no matter what, in the meantime, people have suffered, people are suffering, and people for now will continue to suffer. For some people, there will be no getting back to normal. For them, there will be no winning or victory. In the midst of it, what do Jesus' words and actions call forth in our words and actions? Do you know what I have done to you? Dear folks, it's difficult to know where all of you are at physically today, of course, but also spiritually and faithfully. If you've been running around in fleece-lined reindeer boots with no socks, we might say this: Jesus is kneeling at your feet. If you've wondered what this whole Christ thing is about and what he's up to, look to this story. He's kneeling at people's feet. If you wonder what might be yours to do in the midst of struggle and uncertain times, either for yourself or for all the neighbors around you, near and far, take note of what Jesus is up to, kneeling at people's feet. If you wonder how Christ, the Lord, the Master, the Son of God, leads, he's kneeling at people's feet. And in all things past and present and yet to come, in yours and our best, in our most healthy and clean state, in our shiny attributes, and yet perhaps most powerfully in the dusty, fragile, messy vulnerability of real human life, Jesus is kneeling at people's feet. May that word bless you, and may you hear it today. Thanks be to God. Amen.